good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Whether this is your 100th Sunday here or your first, I want you to know something right up front. You are not here by mistake. But this morning, you are here because the God of heaven still delights in finding people. He still delights in meeting them right where they are. In the dusty roads, in the confused hearts, in the silent prayers, today he is ready to meet you too. So again, we welcome you to our service this morning. What a joy to see those of you who have come to worship today in the house of the Lord. Also like to give a warm welcome to those who are watching us online, either by Facebook or our website as well. But if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. And then once you found Luke 24, you can always flip back to Isaiah chapter 55. Luke 24 and Isaiah chapter 55. Last Sunday, our prayer pastor, Jan Marie, knocked it out of the park. Amen? She brought a word called bloom in your deserts. Remember that? She took us to Isaiah 43 and showed us that sometimes the biggest thing in your way isn't the enemy. Sometimes the biggest thing in your way is your own history. She talked about how we can keep tripping over our past because we just keep dragging it along with us. But then she lit a fire with Romans chapter 15, verse 13, where it says that the Holy Spirit can overflow in us in power, in hope, in love, even in the driest seasons of our life. And she challenged us to ask God to touch those barren parts of our walk that we travel on. Those places where things feel like they're stuck or they're dead. Because here's the truth, and you know it, but life doesn't play fair. It hits you where it hurts. And in those moments, you've got to ask God what he's trying to show you in this. Now, she took us to Psalms chapter 42 and said, praise him anyway, even in the drought that you're in. Even when you don't feel like it, use your lips for praise. And she reminded us to stay alert, to watch for the signs of new things, of blooms happening in your desert that God is doing in our lives. Even in your wilderness that you're traveling through at this time in your life or this season in your life, there might be a road that you didn't see coming. She asked us, for us to ask the Holy Spirit, what's holding me back? And then she pointed us to Philippians chapter 3 that says, forget what is behind and just press forward. But the line that stuck with me was this. You don't grow into a relationship. You commit to it. You commit to it. And that's where the real growth comes from. Not just waiting it out, but just jumping all in. Which leads me today, because today I want to talk about commitment as well, but maybe perhaps in a little different light. I want to talk about the windows that we have in our life, the seasons, if you want to call them that, the windows of opportunity, not the kind you clean, but the kind that God opens up in your spirit to receive him. There are times in the life of a believer when God is especially close and you're more sensitive to his whisper than usual. You remember the whisper that Elijah heard? Not in the big earthquake or the fire or the thunderstorm, tornadoes, whatever, but it was in a whisper. And because if you miss it, you might just miss him. If your heart is hard, if your spirit is distracted, you might not even recognize it when God draws near. Because these spiritual windows that we have in our lives and in our spirit, these divine opportunities, they matter more than we realize. My message today is called A Time to Be Found. And before we dive in, let's go old school for a minute and say with me, Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we prepare to worship in the Word. Father, we are here this morning, some full of questions, some full of hope, and maybe some feeling a little lost. But you know exactly where we are, and you know how to find us. So we ask that you would speak through your Word today. Open our eyes. Open our hearts and let your Spirit lead us with all the truth, because we're ready. We are ready, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look at our passages this morning in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. It says, and behold, two of them were going out that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all of the things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And so they stood still, looking sad, and one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word and sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides of all this, it is the third day since these things have happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early this morning, and they did not find his body. They came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into glory? And the beginning with Moses, with all of his prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures. And they approached the village while they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward the evening, and the day is nearly over. And he went in to stay with them. And it came about that when he had reclined at the table with them, and he took the bread and blessed it and breaking it, here's the food again, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Quite a story. Now flip over to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. And the prophet Isaiah simply says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever been really lost? I'm not talking about taking a wrong turn on your way to Costco or Sam's Wholesale or some store like that. I mean the kind that really just hits you in the gut. The kind that just kind of turns your stomach and makes you realize, I don't have any idea how to get back where I was. I don't know if you felt that way, but it's a horrible feeling. It's like wandering into the wilderness and nothing but your pride and a half-charged cell phone, thinking that you know your way back, then suddenly you realize that Google Maps is confused, and so are you. Once read about a woman who got lost hiking, and the sun went down, the water began to run out, panic started setting in, and every path that she seemed to look or travel down towards just looked the same. And she said, we can't save ourselves. I thought I could get out of this place, but I don't know where I'm at. That's when the rangers showed up. Light was bobbing through the trees, and just like that, they were found. There's something about that moment when you're found, when rescue arrives. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to go along these two men on the road, not in the woods, but in their hopes. Their dreams were shattered, their hearts were heavy, and we're going to discover that sometimes the most important thing isn't that we find God, but that God finds us. Scene 1 in our scripture, in our passage today in Luke 24, opens with two men walking slowly down a dusty road to Emmaus. I mean, it's only 7 miles, but when you're heartbroken, 7 miles feels like 70. Because they talked about everything that had happened in the previous, the betrayal. They saw the trial of Jesus they had witnessed, along with the crucifixion. And then in our passage, they said that they talked with Mary and Martha, and they said that there's an empty tomb, because that tomb was sealed. Cleopas, in our passage today, he was a follower of Jesus during his earthly ministry. Cleopas was not one of the 12 disciples, but some have surmised that he was one of the 70 disciples mentioned in Luke chapter 10. Those disciples that kind of faded away after Jesus really started getting down to where the rubber meets the road. Scripture doesn't give us really any details about Cleopas other than he was with an unknown disciple. But you can almost hear their conversation on that road. We thought he was the one. What happened? We believed he could save us from all of this stuff we're in. And now it's just like the party's over. It's all over. Disappointment along the road you're walking always makes it feel longer. When you're full of hope, when you're full of excitement, or even just that steady confidence, that road ahead, you can make it. I mean, whether it's a goal, whether it's a relationship, a dream, or a calling, if that feels manageable within your life, then you begin to move with momentum. Your walk is easier. It's not as hard. But then even if it does begin to get hard, there's energy in your steps that keep you going, because you can see the purpose ahead. Every mile that you go feels like progress. But disappointment is heavy. It's heavy. It saps your energy. It fogs your vision. It whispers in your ear that maybe this road isn't leading where you thought it was. And suddenly, the same distance that once felt possible now just kind of feels endless. Every step is slower. Every hill you go up looks steeper. You start to second guess things, not just the journey that you're on, but yourself. The road hasn't changed. It's actually still the same length, but instead, you've changed. Because your heart, it's heavier. Your hope is dimmer. Disappointment has that ability to bend time and to bend distance, because it just seems to stretch them. It magnifies that ache that we have inside of us and kind of minimizes the reward, making the end seem farther away than it really is. It saddens my heart when I talk with people who have attended our church as well as other churches in their Christian life. I've had one person say, I just don't believe in God anymore. And I know some of you have struggled with that very same idea in your life. It's like, I keep doing and doing and doing, not seeing anything. I don't know if I could believe this stuff anymore. And it's hard. That's why Luke 24, these two disciples walking to Emmaus after Jesus' crucifixion, it just felt like they were just trudging along, and their feet were heavier under the weight of confusion and all of these crushed expectations they had in Jesus. I mean, it was a 7-mile walk from where they were going, but it was just an unbearable distance. Because when your heart is broken, every step can feel like 100. Disappointment lengthens that journey. Not by miles, but by the burdens that you face in your life. Have you ever been there? I know many of you have. And it's hard. Maybe you've prayed for healing. Didn't come. Maybe you've prayed for restoration or believed in your heart for restoration and it just didn't come through. It didn't happen. Maybe you followed God faithfully and still ended up with a broken heart. It happens more than we realize. That's life. But notice in our passage that they were talking about Jesus. They had no idea that Jesus himself was about to join the conversation. Now remember, this is like on Easter. This is the same day that Mary and Martha went to the tomb and found the tomb empty and saw Mary talk with Jesus. And so it's a lot of stuff's going on that day. Here's why Jesus was joining the conversation of Cleopas and the other guy. Because when disappointment blinds us, we often miss the truth. And that is this, that Jesus is already closer than we think in our lives. Let's continue on to scene two, to see about this unexpected companion in verses 15 through 27. The Bible says that Jesus himself drew near and he went with them, but at the same time their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? God will often walk with you even before you know it's him. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's in the middle of our confusion. Sometimes it's in the middle of our heartbreak. Or maybe just the day-to-day grind that we're doing, our daily thing that we do. And we think that we're walking alone. We don't always recognize God's presence because we expect it in our mind's eye or our heart perhaps that it's going to look a certain way. Maybe with flashing lights or grand miracles or perhaps maybe even an unrecognizable voice from heaven. Have you ever asked that in your prayer? God, just speak to me. I want to hear your voice. Crickets. Okay. You must be off fighting demons or something today, huh? But more often than not, God is far more subtle because he walks beside us quietly. Patiently, like a faithful friend you haven't yet noticed. He's not one of these chatty persons that just comes up babbling and it's like, get away. He comes up silently and subtly right beside you. Think of the disciples on the road to Emmaus in our passage of Luke 24. They were brokenhearted, they were confused, they were defeated. And then Jesus himself came and walked with them and began to ask them questions. He listened to their grief and spoke truth into their hearts. But they didn't really realize it was him until much later when he broke the bread. That's when their eyes were open. After the walk, not during it. That's how God operates in our lives many times. He's present in the conversation that calms you. And He may use another person as a vessel for His purpose to do this. He may use an animal to do this, to calm you. He may use nature to calm you. He's got the whole world at His disposal to do what He wishes. That's how God operates in our lives. He's in the whisper in the middle of your anxious night. You ever have those anxious nights? And He's in the whisper that calms us. He's the one sending people to us in our lives. He's the one opening doors. And He's the one planting those ideas in our life to keep going. Don't give up. It's not over. I'm with you. All before you realize, oh, hey, it's been Him the whole time. His presence precedes or goes before us, before our awareness. And more often, His help often comes wrapped just in plain, ordinary moments. And looking back, once you've experienced that in your life, we'll see God didn't wait until we had it all figured out. He didn't stand at a distance waiting for us to recognize Him at first. No, He was already walking with us, patient, loving, and present. Even before our hearts really caught up to His nearness in our life and the warmth of the Holy Spirit. So the question I have for you is, church, is this. How many times has Jesus walked with you? How many times has He protected you? Has He sustained you, even when you didn't quite recognize it? Jesus starts off with a question with Cleopas and his friend. What are you guys discussing? What are you guys talking about as you're walking along this road? Notice the tenderness. He doesn't force them into faith. He meets them in their questions first. There's an old story I like about a young man driving down the road late at night, kind of road that doesn't show up on most maps. His car gives out and just dies. No cell service, no lights, nothing but cold air and crickets. And then all of a sudden, a beat-up old pickup slows down and stops. He sees a pair of headlights coming toward him. The window rolls down and the driver really doesn't say anything poetic. No really dramatic monologue to help. He just says a simple offer. He says, hop in. We'll figure this thing out together. Now that's the heart of Jesus. Not condemnation, but companionship. If you're receiving condemnation in your life, chances are it's not Jesus. Chances are it's someone else. And then Jesus begins explaining the scriptures to him. He goes back all the way to Moses, all the way up to the prophets. Boy, they had some Bible study along that road, pointing out how everything had pointed toward His suffering, Jesus' suffering and resurrection. Because if you notice, in the story of our passage today, they were talking about how the chief priests and rulers delivered Him up and crucified Him to death. But before that, they said the things about Jesus of the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word in the sight of God and all the people. They didn't recognize Him as the Son of God yet. They just thought He was a really powerful teacher. But Jesus was explaining in the scriptures about who He really was and what His purpose was. Not to crush the Romans, but to save mankind. This is where the passage in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 connects. You can see it on the screen. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Here we go. There's that window. Here's that window that God provided them that they didn't realize, but they were seeking God and He was near. He was right there walking with them. You might think that you're looking for answers today, but what you're really looking for is a Savior. And so I'll ask you, what if Jesus had been walking with you this whole time and you didn't really realize it? What if the peace that you felt in your spirit, that moment of clarity that opened your eyes, that unexpected provision that came out of nowhere, that was from Him? Don't miss your window. Let's look at scene 3. Hearts were on fire in Luke 24, 28 through 32, because the road gets darker. It's getting evening. It's starting to cool. And Jesus acts like, I'm just going to keep on going, guys. But they invite Him in to stay. And the question for all of us is this, is will you invite Him in when He draws near? Or will you just let Him pass by? Because when Jesus comes in, He does something simple. He doesn't say, hey guys, it's me, I fooled you. I'm Jesus. He does something simple. No, He keeps things simple. He has food with them. He has dinner. He breaks the bread. And then their eyes were opened. So many people are scared to let Jesus into their life because they think He's going to come in and just do what we did yesterday. Just clean house. Throw stuff out by the curb. And they're scared of that. So they'll let Him pass by. It's like, thank you, Jesus, I got this one. But He keeps things simple. He just wants to have dinner with you. He just wants to fellowship with you and to show His Father's love to you. There's a profound point here to be made. And that's this, when they broke the bread. That revelation always happens in our lives in the breaking. That's why communion is so important. When we break the bread, it's not just snapping it to chew on a piece of bread. It symbolizes the breaking in our lives. And maybe you know what it's like to break something. Because in their brokenness, their blindness fell away. When you ever break something in your life, your plans, your heart, maybe your future feels broken, but it's often in the breaking that God finally gets through to us. You didn't mean to, of course, but no one wants to wake up hoping to watch their dreams fall apart or something like that happen in our lives. No one plans for heartbreak or disappointment, but life has a way of bringing us to those moments. I've seen you in here go through that. It's in that breaking. When you're broken, that's when God gets to you. When the things that you counted on, the things that you thought were unshakable, suddenly begin to crack and crumble in our hands. It's in that breaking. It's in that raw, exposed place in our lives that something sacred can begin to happen. Because for so long, we've tried to hold it together ourselves. We've gripped tight to our plans, our dreams, our sense of control. You see, we want to be in control so much. God made us so independent and gave us a free will to do what we wish. And we want to say, God, I got this. Thank you. You've gifted me with so many things in my life. Thank you, Father. Now I got this. And we grip those things. And for so many times in our lives, we thought that we were managing and taking care of things. But here's the sad thing in doing that is that we didn't always have time for God or have room to God for God to really move in our lives. We didn't always hear Him clearly. We didn't always want His way over ours because we have it in control. But let me tell you, when you lose control, that's when the Father is there. That's when Jesus walks along beside you. But when everything breaks in your life, When there's nothing left to hold on to, that is when God's voice you can hear clearly because it seems to cut through the noise. That's when the soil of our hearts are packed that was once packed with pride or maybe fear. That's when that gets broken up and new life can begin to grow. Just as the prophet Hosea proclaimed in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow for yourselves with a view to righteousness. Harvest in accordance with his kindness. Break up that uncultivated ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. Break up that hardened ground. The same sun that melts the candle can often still harden the soil. So break up that soil. It's not that God causes the breaking. It's that he refuses to waste it. He says, here's an opportunity. Here's a window I can meet with these precious children that are hurting because they're going to be more sensitive to my ear, my calling. In his hands, the pieces of your broken plans can become stepping stones to a better future. Instead of just looking at those broken pieces and mourning over them, use them as stepping stones to a better future. Because in his hands, a broken heart can begin beating again. Stronger, wiser, more like his. In his hands, even a future that looks shattered beyond repair can be the beginning of a brand new story. Many of you know this from the things that you've encountered in your life. So if you're standing in the middle of ruins today, if you're looking at the broken pieces of what used to be, don't lose hope. Because sometimes the breaking isn't the end. Sometimes it's just the moment when God can finally and beautifully get through to us through those windows of opportunities. The two disciples, they look at each other and say, did our hearts not burn within us while we were talking with him on the road and he opened up the scriptures to us? That burning, that stirring inside that you feel right now, that's not emotion. That's God. If you ever want to hear God speak to you, read the scriptures. If you're hollering up toward heaven and says, God, I want to hear your voice and hear crickets, read the scriptures. He speaks to you through the word. That's why we call it God's word. He's given us everything that we need to know on this while we're on this planet to have a relationship with him and to live a life that's pleasing to him as children of the Most High God. That's what Jesus promised us in John chapter 16, verse 13, when he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And if you don't read the Bible, you're not going to know that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. An important note about our passage is they didn't just stay in Emmaus after they realized it was Jesus. They ran back to Jerusalem that night, the rest of the story. Their hearts were just too full to stay silent about what they've encountered. So when Jesus finds you, you can't stand still. You move, you worship, you share. That was why we have opportunities for testimonies, to share what Jesus is doing in your life. You see, encountering Jesus wasn't just a passive experience. Hey, that was kind of cool. And go on with your life. It's not like finding a lost penny on the sidewalk. Hey, what do you know? There's something. Stick it in your pocket and keep going on. It's more like being struck by lightning in the middle of a dry field. When the living God steps into your story, everything changes. And you can't just stay where you are, doing what you were doing, living the same way you're doing. You move. Your life starts heading in a totally new direction. Your priorities shift suddenly. Your heart leans into Him. When Jesus comes into your life, things change. That's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Things change. If nothing's changing in your life, check your spirit. How long has it been since I've had a fresh meeting with Jesus? Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, once Jesus opened their eyes, they didn't just sit around discussing theology. Well, do you think that was really Him? I don't know. He had some profound thoughts. What's your take on that? They didn't sit around and just discuss it. They ran back to Jerusalem to tell the others what happened, to tell the other 11 disciples what had just happened. And if you read the rest of the story, it's kind of entertaining because he kind of shows up behind them again as they're telling the disciples and say, "Hey guys, how you doing?" So Jesus just continues to show up in our lives in different ways. And when Jesus finds you, you begin to worship because suddenly you realize who He is and what He has done for you. I love our praise and worship team as they give us beautiful opportunities to worship in the freedom that we choose, whether you're raising your hands and swaying in the wind or if you're just silently worshiping Him in your own way. There's freedom in that. Worship isn't just singing a song or attending a service. It begins to become the overflow of a grateful heart. Why are those people clapping during singing? Because they're grateful. They're grateful. It's an overflow. Just as you see fans at a sports event, if you're excited for your team, you're hooping and hollering and yelling. And that's the same with believers. When Jesus finds you, it's awe. It's surrender. You share. You can't keep it to yourself. The good news of the gospel just burns so hot to stay hidden in your life. Just like that little children's song. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Because the gospel, when we hear about the gospel isn't just about Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. It's about that, but it's not only that. The gospel is about what He is doing in your life. How He found you in your window of opportunity. So when somebody says, share the gospel of the good news, they're not saying go out and talk to people about Jesus' death and who He was and His resurrection. Most of the world know that already. But when you tell them what He has done in your life, they haven't heard that story. That's when you've got their attention of how the King of Kings changed your life and what He's doing. Just like the woman at the well in the Bible who left her water jar behind, ran into the town saying, "Come and see, you got to see this guy." When you've been found by Jesus, you want others to know the one who changed everything for you. Meeting Jesus ignites in our life a response from us, and that's the movement of worshiping and witnessing. Witnessing isn't all about trying to convince someone to accept Jesus Christ in their life. Jesus doesn't need vacuum cleaner salesmen. He wants you to tell people what He has done in your life. Because a heart truly found by Jesus Christ refuses to remain silent or refuses to remain still. Because when God moves within you, you can't remain silent because your heart begins to turn and turn. Oh, Jesus. As our worship team comes on the stage to close us out, in closing, I just have one question for you. What road are you on today? Now, I don't ask that lightly. This is not just preacher speaking. It's personal. It's compassionate. It's real. Because life, well, it's a journey, right? It's got highways. It's got back roads. It has scenic routes. Yes, it even has potholes. It's got long stretches of joy and some dark alleys of pain in it as well. And sometimes you're just cruising along, and other times you're just trying to hold it between the lines. So let me ask you, are you on a road filled with joy right now? Or maybe you may be walking a road that's harder and lonelier, maybe a little uncertain at times. Are you on the road of disappointment like the two disciples were? Because disappointment comes in all kinds of flavors. Unmet expectations, dreams that didn't quite make it off the ground, circumstances that you didn't ask for and surely didn't deserve. Maybe someone let you down. Or maybe you let yourself down. There's one. Or maybe you're sitting there wondering if God lets you down. Let's be honest. Life gets heavy sometimes. And maybe today you may be carrying more than your share. If that's you, just hear me. It's okay to admit it. It's okay. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to wonder where God is and all of this stuff. Because guess what? He's not scared of your questions. He's not shocked at your doubts. In fact, he welcomes them. You're not the first to ask where he is. David, who had God's heart, he did. So did Job. So have a thousand others who have walked this road before you. And you're not walking it alone now. Because here's the thing. It's not just about naming the road you're on, but it's about what you do next on that road. If you're walking through disappointment, if you're carrying questions to where God just seems like he's a million miles away, the invitation is simple. Turn toward him. He sees you. He hears you. And yeah, he's been walking right beside you this whole time. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I've gone too far, or I wouldn't even know how to find my way back. Church, here's the good news. You don't have to find your way back to him. He has already found his way to you. This is your moment, not yesterday, not someday, but right now. This is your time to be found. Wandered, maybe you've wrestled, you've wondered if anyone out there really sees you, what you're going through. But the Good Shepherd, he's had his eyes on you this whole time. He's been searching the hillsides of your life, calling into the empty places, stepping into those shadows, waiting for your heart to begin to stir. And this isn't just another emotional moment or a passing chance. No, sir, this is a divine moment. He's not asking you to clean yourself up first. He's just asking you to turn your face toward him. And when you do, when you take just even one step in his direction, you'll see that he's already running towards you. This is the moment where your wandering ends in an embrace. This is when all of the searching, all of the longing, all of the ache in your soul finds its answer in his voice. And his voice is saying, I have found you, and I'm not ever letting you go. Don't let this moment pass. Don't let it echo down the hallway of regret. This is your window. This is your time. Your time to be seen. Your time to be rescued. Your time to be found. And so if you feel something in your heart right now, if you feel that burning inside, that's not emotion. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus drawing near, and he's asking, can I walk this road with you? Will you invite me in? Because, you see, his words have the power to eliminate all of your fears. They have the grace to erase all of your flaws. So that's why it's important we listen to his words and cherish all of that he says to you and I. And he will bring us into a new place where you'll see more clearly and you'll love more deeply. So I'll ask you just straight up, is today your time to be found? If it is, you're ready to say yes, then come. Pray, step forward, let him find you. And as you do, our prayer counselors who are coming up to the front now will be there to greet you, to pray for you, to love on you, to anoint you. No judgment, no pressure, just people who have been found too. Let's pray.